here right quick for a minute or two. We're going to get right into our study here tonight. Some of you fellas are going to stay and help get that tent and stuff unloaded. I'd really, really appreciate it. 2 Kings 23, and we're going to start reading with verse 3 in a minute tonight. Yep, a little bit, Brother Mike. And what I want to do tonight, we're going to take this Wednesday night and next Wednesday night and try to really, really, really get our hearts right and our heart ready for a camp meeting.
Yes, sir.
In preparation. And the way to pray, he sung a song a while ago about revive us again. And we're going to talk about prayer tonight. We're going to talk about prayer. And we talked about it last Wednesday night. And I don't know many Christians tonight that much even have much of a prayer life anymore.
Yeah.
And you go to a lot of churches and mention all-night prayer meeting or praying and fasting, people look at you like you're crazy. I don't know another church in this area, in this county, that has an all-night prayer meeting. There might be one. And that shows how far away we've got away from the way people used to carry on God's business. People used to say, well, we're going to pray and pray and pray and pray and pray, and if anything happens, God's going to have to do it. That's the way people used to look at things. Now, buddy, we can organize and organize and organize, and we got it figured out. That way God does anything or not, we'll still do something. And there's nothing wrong with organization, but we better not and we cannot afford to lose God's touch and power. Preacher, we had a real service here Sunday morning. Boy, we had the best service Sunday morning we've had in a good while, and the Lord moved in here. People shouting and hitting the altar and getting right with the Lord. And as long as we've got that, we're going to be all right. I don't care how bad the economy gets. I don't care how bad the world gets. We'll be all right. So I'm not going to preach tonight. I'm just going to have sort of teach and talk about prayer. There's a little guy here in the Bible, little king here, and I want you to look what happened when he prayed. Look at 2 Kings 23 and verse 3. And the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and with all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. And the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest, and the priest of the second order, and the keepers of the door, to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal, and for the grove, and for all the host of heaven. And he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron, and carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. Now, if you don't know the Bible, that Baal was a false god. Baal. Hold your finger there on verse 5. They took everything out of there that would honor Baal and piled it up in a pile and burned it. There's another case over in the New Testament where they took their curious arts, books and stuff like that, and piled them up in a pile and burned them. Nowadays, when a church does like that, they put an article in the newspaper about you and say you're a cult. But the Christians in the New Testament did that. There's some stuff that you ain't supposed to take and sell when you get saved. You're supposed to burn. Amen. I've heard people say, well, I'm just going to sell this. No, if it ain't right for you, it ain't right for them people you're selling it to. A guy told me one time, you see, he had a bunch of old heavy metal, satanic, head-banging, kill-your-mama music. And he said, boy, I'm going to sell this. I'm getting rid of this. I can sell it and get a lot of money. I said, man, that's like selling you dope, you know. But anyway, they burned it. Now look at verse 5. And he put down the idolatrous priest. You ain't supposed to put nobody down, are you? So it said, whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah and in the places round about Jerusalem. And them also that burned incense unto Baal, to the sun and to the moon and to the planets and to all the hosts of heaven. That's what we're seeing now. We got a whole generation of Greenpeace love. I've been studying on this Mayan calendar and the end of the world on December 21st. And all them people believe are, it's Indians who believe that the sun is a god and that we get our everything revolved around the planets and the sun. And that's what the Bible said. They worshipped and served the creature more than the creation. They worshipped the sun, the moon, and the planets. Listen, if you're worshiping the sun, the moon, and the planets, you're settling for way less. But we worship the God that made the sun and the moon and the planets. God made the sun, and He brought out the grove from the house of the Lord, which without Jerusalem, under the brook Kidron, and burned it at the brook Kidron, and stamped it small to powder, and cast the powder thereof on the graves of the children of the people. Hold on there just a second. Now, He brought out them groves. Now, that's an interesting study, too. You know, them groves there in the Old Testament. I've had a bunch of people say, Brother Danny, what was they grove? Those groves in the high places. And they'd have literal bushes and trees that represented places to worship their idols and gods in the high places. And that's an interesting thing about them groves. But look at verse 7. My goodness. What would happen if people did this now? He break down the houses of the Sodomites. Good night. You know where you'd go now for that? Prison. For a hate crime. They broke down the houses of the Sodomites. Isn't that something? Boy, ain't times changed. That were by the house of the Lord. I don't know why them Sodomites was living right by the house of the Lord. But where the women wove hanging for the grove. Man, these people's in a mess, wasn't they? And he brought out all the priests out of the cities of Judah that defiled the high place where the priests had burned incense from Geba to Beersheba, and break down the high place of the gates that were in the entering of the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, which were on a man's left hand at the gate of the city. And you know when he did this? He did this after he really got his heart right with God, and they prayed. Now you've heard the old saying, sin will keep you from this book, or this book will keep you from sin. You read the Bible enough, you're going to quit your sinning. You cannot do both. You hear people say over here in the crazy house, they say, well, see, the Bible made them people crazy, because half of them in there quote scripture when you go in there. And they say, see, there, the Bible made them people crazy. The Bible didn't make them crazy. What made them crazy was being saved or knowing the Bible and going against it. That will drive you crazy. That will make you crazy. And I smell marshmallows or something, or the building's on fire or something. Y'all smell that? Yeah. It's coming through here somehow or another. That's a wonder fire alarm don't go off. But anyway, we're gonna talk about this for a minute tonight and talk about prayer. Listen to this. A praying man is never a useless man. A praying man is never... I've heard people on their bed or something like that and say, Preacher, I can't be there. Preacher, I can't help with the bus route. All I can do is pray. Listen, you ain't useless if you can pray.
That's right.
You are not useless if you can pray. I need prayer. I want y'all to pray for me. I have Miss Kerr once in a while. She'll call me from up in Kentucky. And she'll say, where are you preaching at, Brother Danny? And I'll say, so-and-so, so-and-so. What time are you preaching? Oh, about 8 o'clock. She'll say, I'll be praying for you. And I've had others do that. Pray, man, I'll take that. I'll take that. A praying man is never a useless man. If trouble drives us to prayer, then your prayer will drive your trouble away. If trouble drives you to pray, then your prayers will drive the trouble away. Somebody said, the devil laughs at our toil. He mocks at our wisdom, but he trembles when we pray. The devil laughs at our work. He mocks at our wisdom. We ain't smart enough to beat the devil. But I tell you, when he sees us down here saying, oh God, please, he trembles. Somebody else said this. They said, Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. And I tell you, that's why the devil fights us in praying. Lord, have mercy, I've been fighting this thing for years and years. I don't know if y'all are like me. You probably are. I'll hear somebody preach on it, and boy, I'll get under conviction, and I'm going to say, all right, I'm going to pray 30 minutes a day, or I'm going to pray so much, you know, and I'll do pretty good for a day or two. And then, you know, you start to pray and the phone rings, or you'll start to pray and you think of stuff you're supposed to do. And you start praying. I'm bad for that. I'll start praying and I'll think, you told so-and-so you'd call him tonight. Y'all do that? And you say, you didn't tell me that a while ago when I was watching the ball game. That little voice never spoke when you was watching that the news and said, you better call so-and-so. But boy, as soon as you get down, start saying, oh Lord, here comes 15 things that you need to do. Where do you think that's coming from? You know, the devil, he'll see you down there and he'll say, uh-oh, I got to do something with them. They're going to mess around and get in touch with God, and the Lord's going to bless. That's one thing we do that he can't stand. And that's why it's so hard to do. To me, there's only one thing harder to do than pray, and that's fast. To me, fasting is the hardest thing in the Christian life. And the second thing is the hardest thing in my life is prayer. And you know what the third thing, the hardest thing in my life, is making decisions. We'll talk about that another time. I hate to make especially big, important decisions where you can't go back. You can't undo it. You know, if you buy a car, you can take it back, sell it, whatever. But if you don't, like, buy this building or something, those are big decisions. Man, I hate that. That's tough. But anyway, prayer is the second hardest thing to do. I'll get down and I'll say, oh Lord, I pray, God, that you'd help me today. Lord, I pray you'd bless the camp meeting. Lord, I pray that you help my kids. Lord, I pray you bless the church. And I'll start naming some of y'all off and everything. And then the next thing you know, you're thinking about something completely different. I pray when I run. I pray when I drive. I try to pray. I try to pray without ceasing, you know, whatever you're doing. But buddy, I'm telling you, the devil don't like it. I like what old Martin Luther said years ago. He got up one day and he said, I got so much to do today, I'm going to spend the first 3 hours in prayer. And only a prayer warrior understands that. Because after you really get in touch with God and get right with God, everything that day just seems to fall in place. I don't know if you've ever noticed that or not. But when you really get what we'd say, you know, really plugged in just right, it seems like everything just falls in place that day. And if you get up in the morning and just rush out the door and ain't got time for God, it seems like everything goes wrong. It's just like this. Oh my God, not that. Now, you ever had one of them days? I've heard people say it's one of them days. You get a scratch on your car. Your car won't start. Battery's dead. Just one thing right after another. And people say, this has been the awfulest day. I tell you what to do. You get up the next day and pray. You say, well, Brother Danny, I can't pray for an hour. I gotta get to work. Well, I've already heard one man in the church who, after I preached that the other night, got up the next day and prayed 15 or 20 minutes early for work. That's good. If we'd do that every day, there ain't no telling the difference that we might see. I got a friend of mine way out in Montana. He told me, he said this, all you men listen. He said, our church was doing okay, but he said, there wasn't really much happening and it was sort of stale. I mean, you know, we were saved and had decent services, but he said, we got under a burden. We wanted God to do something in our church. And he said, me and a bunch of the men got together and we decided that we would fast and pray every Saturday. And here's what he said. He said, we decided that we'd pray and fast every Saturday. We wouldn't eat nothing all day Saturday, all night Saturday night, and then Sunday morning, and then go eat after church on Sunday afternoon. He said, we started doing that for a few weeks, and he said, you would not believe the difference in our Sunday morning services. He said, God started moving, people started coming, and he said, you know what, Brother Danny? Here's what he told me. He said, I had an ear infection, and he said, I had to be on antibiotics all the time. He said, I had to continually take antibiotics for my ear. He said, my ear infection cleared up, and it never did bother me no more. He said, I don't know something about that fasting. It just cleared it up. He said, I don't know if the Lord healed me or that did it or what. And I believe that. I believe if you'll fast regular, that a lot of things in your body will heal. I won't say heal itself, but you know what I mean. The Lord touched a lot of it. The only thing wrong with me that I know of, y'all hush. I know you're thinking you're crazy. But only thing wrong with me, besides mental, is I hurt my shoulder playing ball. I did this in high school. I let them guys talk me into playing baseball. And I never did like baseball except when I was a little kid. And I was in the outfield. They put the worst player out in right field, you know, and I think that's where I was at. That's where you put your worst player, because they don't many hits go over there. And they put me in right field. I played second base for a while, and then they put me on right field. And somebody hit the ball one time, and I was determined I was going to sling that thing to home plate. And I slung it with all my might, and what we used to call throw your arm away. I tore that rotator cuff, or what is it, rotator cuff or rotator cuff? Huh? Rotator cuff. Well, we say rotator cuff, but it's rotator cuff. And somebody said one time, if God made any mistake in the human body, it was your shoulder. Because your shoulder, man, it's a weird thing. Once it gets messed up, it don't ever get right. And you know, it bothers me to this day. To this day, it bothers me. And especially if I sleep on it like that right there. You say, well, why do you do it? I don't do it on purpose. I go to sleep like this, and I wake up like this. I wake up like that, and it's killing me. And it's got inflammation and stuff, I assume, that gets around there. And I think fasting helps it. Because the more I fast, you know, the less it bothers me. And you know what? I think if we'll pray, and we'll pray, and we'll pray, and if you'll fast between now and then, there's no telling what the Lord might do in our families, in our marriages. You know, we had 322 people in here Sunday morning. You know, in that many people, there's probably four or five with serious marriage problems. By the law of averages. And there's probably 10 in there with a rebellious teenager. There's probably five in here with a drug problem. I know of three or four that was here Sunday that have drug problems. I know them personally. I talked to a boy out on the steps, and he's got a problem on pills. There was another one here had a problem on pills this past Sunday morning. Listen, people, God can do something about that. Yes. The Lord can do something about that. And did you know what we had in here Sunday morning? The Lord was moving. I know. He's been praying a lot about their situation, and I was going up yonder, and I prayed extra, and somebody prayed extra, and the Lord blessed. So what I'm saying tonight is, let's pray for the next 2 weeks. Let's really pray. Let's really pray. Leave your TV off for a while, and spend that time in prayer. Yes. Amen. You on the days that I fast, like today, I ain't had my TV on since last night. I'm not saying that bragging. I'm just saying, leave it off for a while. Leave it off for a while. I'm going to be telling you, are you that have your internet addiction? I'm going to be telling you how to solve that. I've got a plan for you, maybe coming Sunday, that I'm going to be talking about that, about your notebook and internet addiction that you have. And I know there's a lot of y'all in here that have that. And we're going to try to help you to get off of it, your addiction. And one of the points is, shut it off once in a while. See if you can go a whole day without turning your computer on. At all. I'm not joking. I'm serious. I mean, let's give some time for the Lord in prayer. Amen? I'm serious, brother. I don't care if it's Cowboys and Indians. Leave it alone for a while and give God that time. There ain't no telling what the Lord might do for us. Anything you give up. Amen? Say, well, I gave up something, didn't you? Like them old drunks, you know. So that old drunk staggered out down the street one time, and he stood in front of a parking meter, and looked up, and there was a big clock, and he put a quarter in it, and he said, "Oh, I'll be." Gave up chocolate, and it's still $2.15. he thought he was on the scale. But anyway, you know, we think, well, I prayed and prayed, and it didn't do a bit of good. Let me tell you something. Just because you don't see it right then, don't mean God hadn't heard, and don't mean God ain't going to answer. Just because you don't get it overnight, don't mean the Lord's turned a deaf ear. I'm going to tell you something tonight, people. I believe this with all my heart. If we sincerely pray, and as we're praying, we confess and repent of all of our sin that we know of, and we try our best to do right and yield ourselves to the Lord, God Almighty is still on the throne, and He's able to work out situation in your marriage. He's able to work out that situation with that teenager that's rebellious. He's able to work out that situation with your daddy or your mom. I was talking about Bo. Bo called me a while ago and said he couldn't be here tonight. He's got stage 4 cancer, And God's able to take care of that. Somehow or another, we think the Lord can heal my shoulder, you know, but He can't heal Bo's cancer. He can. The Lord can. Now, whether He will or not, I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing. If we'll pray and be sincere to God, the Lord will do something. I know a man right now is praying about a certain situation. And honestly, at first, I thought he's wasting his time. But God's moving in that situation. Prayer is the key in the morning and the bolt at night. Prayer is the key that lets you in the morning and the bolt that shuts you up at night. If you're a stranger to prayer, you are a stranger to power.
Yeah.
That's right. I talked last week about the Lord setting us an example. In Mark chapter 1, the Bible said He went out early in the morning, before day, to pray. The Lord did that. Now, the Lord didn't do that because He's trying to get right. He's already right. Jesus didn't do that because He's trying to get saved. He didn't need to get saved. He done that to set an example for me and you. He got up before it was daylight and prayed. I hope that you will some. I know some of y'all have a very busy schedule. You got to go to work every day. You've got kids in school. They've got homework. They've got take showers. I understand all that. But if you will put God first, the Lord will make up the difference to you somehow, some way. Lord, I drug my girls to church their whole life. They'd come home with homework on Wednesday night. Of course, they went to a Christian school, and Christian schools don't give homework on Wednesdays. And out of respect to the church, and that helped us a lot. But they had stuff that they had to get done, and they was tired. And man, I'd throw them in the car, and they'd be asleep on the way to church and asleep on the way home from church. And people say, well, Brother Danny, I wouldn't drag them little old girls out there. Listen, God made it up to us. The Lord made it up to us. I mean, them girls, now, even to this day, they know when it's time to go to church, you're supposed to go to church. They beat it in their head their whole life. And if we're a stranger to prayer, we are a stranger to power. Do not face the day until you have faced God. Amen? Have you ever seen that bumper sticker, that sign that said, 7 days without prayer makes 1 week? And it's W-E-A-K. 7 days without prayer makes 1 week. All right? I'm going to ask you, I'm going to talk for a minute, and I'm going to ask you, somebody, to help us. Give us an example. Give us something you prayed for and it happened. I was going to give you a bunch of, I won't have time tonight, but I was going to give you a bunch of folks who had their prayers answered. Babies getting sick. Family trouble. Bills you can't pay. I've heard many, many stories of people who couldn't pay their bills and the money come in at the last second. I've heard of people saying, couldn't pay my house payment. And go to the mailbox, and there'd be a refund check from the government or insurance company or something. I mean, that stuff happens when we pray. But here's what you got to do. You got to quit your sin. You got to quit anything that you're doing wrong. You got to quit it. I know you're not perfect, but you know what I'm talking about. Deliberate sin. You have to cut it out and push yourself toward God, and it'll be worth it what you get. All right, somebody, right quick, Brother Ray. Who you talking about, Rhonda?
My daughter. I prayed for her for years. Here she said, I sat here one day and looked, and I had four generations sitting there.
What about that?
Amen.
Yeah, when we first started, none of them came, did they? Except just you and Miss Janie. Four generations. Methuselah. Sat right here in our midst. Amen. Isn't that something? And Kim got saved, and now she works in the bus ministry, and isn't that a blessing? And I remember that. He prayed for them all the time. Anybody else? Give us something or a comment or an answer to prayer. I heard Dr. Ruckman say one time, and he said you should keep in a notebook and write it down when you get your prayers answered. Because if you ain't careful, you'll just chalk it up to coincidence or something. And it's God answering your prayers. And it's not always coincidence. The Lord answered. He said, write it down. And when you get discouraged and everything, go back and read that. On such and such a day, the Lord answered this prayer. Such and such a day, the Lord answered this prayer. And he'll answer if we'll pray. He'll answer. Now, there's a price to pay. There's some giving up some stuff. There's some clean living got to take place. I mean, there's some faith got to be exercised, but God will answer our prayers if we'll pray. I preach revivals all the time, and boy, I'll go a night or two and nothing don't happen. And man, I'll get back in my room and I'll say, Lord, I can't stand this. God, you're going to have to do something. And I'll lay on the floor and I'll beg God and I'll beg God and I'll beg God and I'll beg God. And I get sincere. And you can tell a difference the next night. It happens every time. Every time we get sincere. Anybody? Right quick. Amen.
Desperately. But we went to the beach a couple of weeks ago, and I knew I had to get ready to preach that next week. And I was just kind of trying to be on vacation. I had not really didn't have a lot of peace down there, you know. But when I got back, I said, I'm going to get bear down and pray. And I got to reading about D.L. Moody and those men that were filled with the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
And I'd read a little bit, I'd cry a little bit. And I started to beg God to fill me with His Spirit. And that's one of those things that the devil will make you forget about how
right.
It is to be filled with God's Spirit.
That's right.
And I just said, God, I need you. God, I need your power. And I pray a little bit. I listen to the preaching about the power of God and the Spirit of God. And about Thursday of that week, last week, I honestly, I give God all the glory. I honestly had to look in the mirror. I didn't feel like the same person.
Amen.
I'm not bragging on me.
Amen, brother. Amen, brother. Go ahead.
We run around trying to fix this crowd and fix this situation. And we run around trying to do this and trying to do God's work without the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
We need Him. I believe the Lord's calling us to pray. He's laid on Brother Danny's heart. I came in here today and we fixed these chairs in this room in here, around in a circle in this room. And I've been over here to church, so walking around here praying and making God to touch me.
Go ahead.
And listen, we got to get on our face. We got problems. We got situations. We
yeah.
need God to fix it. We can't do it.
That's right.
We need the Lord.
And amen.
Brother Dan's leading us to do that, and God's leading him to lead you. And I've got a burden, and I need to see God do something in my life. But listen, we need the Lord.
Amen.
We can't do this thing. We need Him.
You're right, brother. Everywhere I go, I talk to a preacher. Let's see. I can't remember who it was. I don't remember who it was. Yesterday, somewhere. And they said... Brother Danny said, people just ain't getting saved much no more. And everywhere you go, you hear that. People just ain't getting saved much no more. I know we have kids saved, and we have a lot of people saved at youth rally, and we put forth a big effort in the past 40 days and everything else. But as far as just on a regular basis, sinners walking out and getting saved, buddy, you don't see it a lot anymore. And that don't mean God's limited. That don't mean God can't do it. But church, we're not willing to pay the price like people used to be. We need to pray. We need to pray. Somebody said this. They said, we don't pray for easier lives. We pray to be stronger men. We don't pray that our task equal our power, but pray that our power will equal our task. And they said this. They said, come on, Miss Desi, be getting ready. They said this. They said one time in this church, it was a big church years and years ago, they come in one Sunday morning and somebody, the lightning hits a circuit or something like that, and the organ wouldn't play. And there's one of them big old pipe organs where it filled that big auditorium, you know, and my goodness, them people was all, oh no, the organ, we ain't going to have no music, we ain't going to have no music, because you know how they are in them big, gigantic churches. Well, they had an electrician down underneath down there working on stuff and putting light on everything, and it was almost time for the service to start. And it was just about time for the service to steal nothing from the organ. And the preacher said, let's go to the Lord in prayer. And they all bowed their heads to pray. And while he just got it fixed, and somebody slipped the organist a note, and it said, after prayer, the power will be on. They got it hooked back up. And the note said, after prayer, the power will be on. You hear that? So the note said, after prayer, the power will be on. And boy, I read that and I thought, that's what we need to look. After prayer, the power will be on. Amen. So let's pray for the next couple of weeks. I want to encourage you to fast as God leads you. I hope that everybody in here will fast at least some here in the next 2 weeks. Go ahead, Brother Bill.